You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 44 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, November 5th, 2018. This is a weekly show about technology and ministry. Hopefully, we can provide something for everyone. But as our longtime listeners know, we dedicate one show a month to classroom or educational technology. As usual, at least for 44 shows and counting now, I have joining me from the land of 10,000 lakes, Sally Draper. Welcome, Sally.
Hi, Martin. How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. Got out and voted, and since we record the show a day early, just anxiously awaiting election returns tonight.
Yep, absolutely. We normally record the show actually in the morning, but we have an afternoon edition this week because of conflicting schedules and getting our next guest on the show, and that is Gail Potratz from, well, what do we call Wisconsin? Minnesota's a land of 10,000 lakes. I guess Wisconsin is, depending on who you talk to, God's country, right?
That is absolutely right today for this day in November and how warm and what a beautiful Indian summer day we're having. It's just great.
Oh, yeah. This may be the last hurrah, unfortunately. my former pastor down in Illinois, Pastor Dave Riccio, called Wisconsin either one of two things. It was either Chicago's State Park or, you know, beyond the Cheddar Curtain. You know, either one.
Very good.
So we are beyond the Cheddar Curtain up here, Gail. And I am in Milwaukee at the Synod Administration Building on this fine day. So welcome, Sally. Welcome, Gail. As I preface in the show, this show, once a month, is really focused on classroom or maybe not specifically just classroom, but educational technologies. So our teacher listeners tune in. Gail, I don't know if you heard the show, but we had one voicemail that wanted more Gail.
So. Oh, yes. And actually, that was Ryan, and he was in my sectional that we'll be talking about today. So
okay. Wasn't your son or anything, was it? Wasn't a son or anything, right? A family member? Related?
No.
Okay.
Not even related.
Okay. Then it's a valid comment. And I agreed. I think it's great to have you on, and the you know, the addition of the person kind of adds a different dynamic. And as a result, we usually don't do an interview because we have so much to talk about and so many perspectives. And the show today is basically your experiences, Gail, at the Wisconsin Teachers Conference.
Right.
What were you doing there?
Well, a long time ago, I was asked if I would be able to do a sectional for the State Teachers Conference, and they asked me to, actually I got to pick what I wanted to do, something related to technology, and I thought, sitting in my office during that nice summer day, that it might be a good idea to do something with podcasting and actually teach people about podcasting, but also share, at the same time, be able to share successful technology ideas that people have put into place in their classrooms. Mm-hmm. So we had kind of I had a dual purpose there. And it really was educational for me as well, because I took a risk and went out on a limb, and I'm very comfortable podcasting with GarageBand. It's my usual vehicle for doing that. But since I knew that most people in my audience probably didn't have access to that Apple program, I decided to use Audacity, which is a free program that can be downloaded from the internet and is able to be used on both platforms. So
right.
I forced myself to learn a new piece of software, as well as trying to teach it to the group.
Okay. Audacity was, and I will ask you how it went in just a minute, but Audacity was what Sally and I started with, the recording software that we started with, and I wasn't real successful in making that thing work with my equipment for whatever reason, although I know a lot of people, a lot of podcasters who use it, you know, very successfully. So we've switched to a couple different things, but predominantly a hardware-based Marantz device that records right to a CF card and has worked really well, good high-quality capture, and you take kind of the whole software component out of it, which is sometimes problematic. So, Gail, the big question then for the big Audacity question of the podcast is, well, how did it go?
The software itself, I would have to say I found it a little bit difficult to use. There's a lot of similarity. I mean, the buttons look the same and it does the same kind of thing. And perhaps it was just because I'm more used to the other software, but I was out of my comfort level definitely in using it. I was glad that in both sectionals there were one or two people who had used it before, and they actually were able to give us at least one comment that took us a little bit beyond the basics. And it was really just my goal to do a basic podcast, and so I felt okay about doing that. I was able to do that, show them how to do a basic podcast that you could produce something very decent in the classroom and post on a website. So
sure.
I guess all in all, that part of it went very well.
So what was the premise of the workshop? You were going to physically do a podcast about what?
Right. I wanted to actually create it on the fly as people. So I would be showing them how to use the tools actually in, you know, real time in front of them. And the subject of our podcast was sharing technology ideas that worked for you in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I had published this ahead of time so that people knew, and I'd hoped they'd be comfortable enough to, you know, come up and speak so that I could record them. And I started out, and I hope that we would get some ideas from people. I guess most people, it turned into ideas about podcasting and things you could do with Audacity, which was fine. That wasn't really my intention, but that's the tide that it took, and I guess that was okay.
Okay. So I guess the format here for the show is we're going to play some clips of the podcast. We kind of chunked it up a little bit by topic, and then have a brief discussion about, you know, some of those suggestions that came essentially from other teachers in the Senate, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And were they excited about having their podcast as part of Wells Tech? Did you tell them that as well, Gail?
Oh, yes, yes. And, in fact, if listeners would like, I do have a website, a wiki that I created that I use to my presentation was in two parts. I went through some information on the wiki. There's a nice little Common Craft video that explains what a podcast is, and there's some links. There's a link to the Wells Tech page with all of our podcasts on, and a lot of other resources, some for free play music to be used in podcast. One link to what I think is my favorite site on copyright issues when you're doing podcasting, with, you know, the music part of that, and some other things that might be pertinent. So if anyone would like to go to view that, they could do that at WLSTC, Wisconsin Lutheran State Lutheran Teachers Conference.wikispaces.com.
Okay.
So we could include that in the notes there. And that was actually my presentation, other than the part of it where we were doing Audacity Live.
Okay.
So.
And I'm sure you got releases from all the voices that we're going to hear, right?
There are no names. No one wanted their name connected with their voice. I gave them the option, and they chose not to be recognized. So
okay. Actually, I think one person did include his
name.
Okay,
somebody
we'll
wants
see.
To be
we'll
a star.
Oh, really?
All right. Okay, let's play the first clip, and then we'll talk.
As a language arts teacher, I find the marriage between podcasting and writing to be one that benefits everyone. The students are able to script and write for a wide audience, and they appreciate the fact that they aren't just handing in homework, a writing assignment for the sake of the teacher. their writing's actually going to impact many people as we put it on the school page or even out on the internet itself. So to me, that's a valuable way to increase students' love for writing, and I see them motivated, and I see the improvement in writing that occurs when they do projects such as podcasting.
That voice sounded familiar.
Well, someone had to start.
Oh,
so I was
okay.
Trying to encourage them to get up and do their thing. And actually, it is a good one to start with because whenever you use technology, you want to have some specific educational purposes and use it wisely. And I do think, you know, the 21st century skills, again, communication, collaboration, and creativity, those three C's come into play big time when kids are allowed to. You have a storyboard and you plan your, we often do enhanced podcasts, so then you have the pictures to match with the words too.
Cool. Yeah.
So there's a lot of language arts standards that you're covering when you're putting together a podcast. It isn't just getting up before the microphone and, you know, speaking off the cuff. So
yep.
I think it's a valid place to start the discussion.
Okay.
You know, Gail, just last week we had forensics here in Sleepy Eye, and for the first time this year I actually recorded the students reading or presenting their forensics pieces. And for them, it was really motivational because they felt like they weren't just presenting to a small group, but that we would be able to podcast their forensics pieces and that it would reach a larger audience. So if their parents couldn't attend or whatever, then they could actually, hear their forensics performance. So
that is a great idea because, and one of the people that speaks to an idea similar to that. But that, what a great idea to connect with a forensics program. I really never thought of that. I'm going to do that this year. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a great idea. Kids, that will help them learn their pieces better. Mm-hmm. And it would also, I'm thinking of grandparents that live beyond the cheddar curtain.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of grandparents out there that would love to hear those pieces and can't attend those school functions. So, mm-hmm. You know, what a great opportunity for them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do another one.
Hi, this is Kurt Gosdick, and we are here with Gail, the technology guru at New London, and she's looking for ideas on how to use podcasting. One of the ideas that I use in my classroom is to have the children write a radio advertisement or a short radio program. Once they have done that, and of course the teacher has looked that over for content, then we have them record it in Audacity. The one thing that you can do then is you can have them listen to it and see whether or not they think that is acceptable and actually have them give the approval for the final edition of that. So just one idea from Kurt.
There you go.
Oh, yes. And Kurt, that was, I think he was the first one. He was very brave, and I appreciated his comments. He was one of the people who had used Audacity before,
mm-hmm.
So you can tell from his comment that he's comfortable in doing some things with it. And I would vouch for his comment about letting the kids decide when it's ready. What he's really talking about is kids' willingness to edit and re-edit and make perfect. And that is, they're much pickier about editing this type of work than the piece of paper that you give back to them. I've mm-hmm. noticed that.
Because it's more public?
Fact,
is that
sometimes
what you're thinking?
Sometimes you just have to say, you know, that's good enough.
Right.
Because they get very, well, I do. I think it's, they know it's their work and they know what's going out there for a lot of people to hear and they want it to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So.
Next, let's do another one. It's called Week in Review.
Another suggestion for a GCast came from Jody, who suggested that a teacher or even a student could use the GCast podcast method to create a file to post on the web that just would be kind of like the week in review or here's looking at the week ahead type of thing where parents could, at a very quick listen, just get a feel for what their kids will be involved in during the week.
Yes, and that was me again because Jody was a little shy. She had a great idea and she'd actually done a GCast before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to make sure we got her idea in there.
I think that one's a great one. Our parents are really excited about anything we're putting out on the web. They're very attentive to it. And so, you know, if it was delivered to them and if they could subscribe even to an RSS feed of the weekly events and just give it a little listen when the new week comes out, I think that would be received well.
Right. There's a newness and kind of a shiny newness factor to some of these things, and I think the kids get excited about that. I'm sure there will come a time, however, where this is a little bit more mundane or old school, or becomes, you know, might like the traditional homework. I suppose at that point, you know, and maybe even before, obviously you should be thinking through this, is the purpose and how to motivate the kids, and you know, teaching new skills through this process as the medium becomes, you know, less attractive, and you get back to really the purpose of the exercise.
Right, and that's a valid point, lest people think that we language arts teachers do only these things. We still write term papers with bibliographies that we write out in the prescribed form, although I let my kids use a lot of online tools to write those bibliographies that I didn't have access to and had to memorize where those commas and periods went all the time.
Yep.
So, yeah, we still do the standard things as well, and yeah, it can't be all fun and games, and you're right, the newness does wear off. That's true in any of these things.
Right. All right. Next.
I'd like to use Audacity and have some older kids read some textbook content into an audio file for a CD or on the web. Listening to this could help strugglers learn the content.
This was someone who came up with this idea during the sectional, and I think it was a great idea. The idea there again, you have the partnering, the older kids are doing something for the benefit of the younger kids. It really wouldn't have to be that. It could even be kids in the same class that are producing material, because some kids are visual learners and some kids are auditory learners, and those people that are auditory, besides reading that textbook, if they could hear that content read, you know, again, that might significantly help them remember those concepts. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a very perceptive use of the product.
Right. This is a little off topic, but it just came to my mind as he was talking. What's the place of audio books, you know, within the context of the classroom? I remember when I was in school, I would go to the library and fish out Shakespeare albums, you know, the 33 speed albums that I could at least maybe get a little bit more out of Shakespeare than the actual read itself. And now obviously it's so easy to get audio, you know, audible books and, you know, audio content, whether it be on tape or CD or whatever. What's going on with that in the classroom these days?
Boy, I don't really have any experience with that to share with you, Martin. I really haven't made use of that myself. That'd be interesting to know if other people are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The best we've gotten, we haven't done audiobooks, but when we read a book, we often do, like, myself, or in fact, I do this, like, at the end of after I've read a read-aloud book to the kids where they don't have access to the book physically, then I'll often do an audiophile summary of the book online on the kids' website, because we do test on them and we've done other activities with the book, and so I want them to be able to review it, and so they give a listen that way. But that's just me, you know, paraphrasing or summarizing. Or some kids, sometimes I have a student do a summary of each chapter and post it as we go along, that kind of thing. But we've really never taken a whole audiobook and done it that way. I shouldn't say never, because the last book we do each year, Waiting for the Rain, is about the apartheid. And that, we actually listen to that on tape. So that's pretty close to an e-book. It's the old version of an e-book. And we listen to someone read that to us.
I mean, I read far more books now than I used to before audible books, you know, were more prevalent. Because I have more, I can read them or listen to them in more different circumstances. I don't need to dedicate quiet time in a quiet place to actually, you know, read through the book. So
right.
All right. Next clip.
Another important point in all the posting on the wikis and websites is that parents get to see what the kids are doing.
And that's a comment that goes along with what Sally had said earlier, too, the fact that you get the content out there and a lot of other people in a lot of other places can share it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think the parents are very interested, and you have to actually make a communication effort around that so that you're regularly putting little blurbs in your school newsletter and in your church bulletin and things like that, and drawing people in and bringing them back to the website to look for the new things.
Right.
You know, so it's not just putting it out there, but it's training them to look for it and go and get it as the new things are posted.
Right.
Very valid point, Sally. And for those of us who do the web pages and spend a fair amount of time in that, you know, that
investing.
Right. Then that is something that I do that too. I have a little blurb in the church newsletter, the church bulletin. But I'm always looking for ways to get people to, because I figure once they go there, I think they're going to come back. But just to get them there sometimes, I'm always looking for new ways to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As head of the school's dance team, I used a program that was similar to Audacity to mix parts of various songs together, so the girls could use them in their performances. Lots of the effects in Audacity, like change tempo, would really work for that.
So this person actually had used a different product, and I can't remember the name of it now. I didn't write it down. But they had invested some money in a program so they could basically take clips from different songs and put them together to make a mix of music for the dance team. And the first thing we talked about in relation to that was she was interested because Audacity is free, so it would be nice to not have to spend money to buy a program to do that, and you could do the same thing with that. And also a lot of the effects, like change tempo, there's just a whole list of effects that you can do, and she was impressed by that list. And there were actually like about three other people in the room that had already with some kind of software done similar things. That seemed to be a real popular use for recording music for schools. And then I felt obligated to bring up the idea of copyright, and was glad that I included that the site that I had linked to on the wiki page, because I wouldn't want people to think that they can do all that mixing and using of other music freely without being aware that there are copyright issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in general, Gail, when you looked at the class as a whole, were most of the people kind of in it and doing it, trying different things? Were a lot of them, you know, just kind of trying to figure this stuff out? What use is this in the classroom mixture? And maybe even as you look across the Synod, where are we in this area of podcasting?
I think there are a few people dabbling in it. I don't think it's very many, just judging from, and maybe the people who are really good at it didn't feel they needed to come, you know, to the sectional, so it's it's hard to judge. But the people that did come, most of them were interested to see what it was, didn't really know beforehand what it was. There were a few people in there, two in one section out of 66 people. There were three people who had actually produced some things using Audacity.
Really?
And a couple more with, one had done the GCast, and one had done this other program for the dance team. But the sense for me was that not many people were really producing audio files for use in the classroom, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
People who were doing it, like a lot of churches are doing it with their sermons. That was mentioned by one of the participants, and I think a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm.
But school use, I think, is pretty minimal at this point, is my sense.
So again, you know, you can get in on the entry level of this new media and you know, pave the way and carve out your place from the very beginning. If you aren't doing it in your classroom, now's the time to try it out. Just trying anything, just being a part of Gail's sectional, looking at Audacity, even if it wasn't the best solution for you, Gail, or the easiest or most intuitive to learn. You know, at least you did something with it and you can build off of that and do it better next time.
Right, and I think that people have this sense of being overwhelmed. I know a couple people stopped afterwards to talk to me about that very thing, that they feel just one person told me, boy, I always think I kind of know where we're going with this stuff, and then I come to one of these things and I think, man, I don't know anything. And I think that's true of a lot of people in a lot of places. Well, all of us, because, you know, the technology moves very fast, and I get frustrated too, trying to keep up and trying to decide which part of it do I want to invest my time in, and what should I let go of and not bother with. What's going to be a good solution for some things I see going on in education and other things that are really fun and intriguing to me? I have to let some of those go because there's only so much time in the day. So I just try to encourage people to look carefully at where you're at, find something that you think you could use to do what you do now, but maybe do it a little better because of the technology that you are going to invest time in learning. You know, and don't feel bad that you're not doing the whole gamut of things. Pick something, and that's why I tried to present a real basic view of podcasting. I had some real nicely done things that I wanted to show them, and for some reason, I don't know why, but the filter at the school blocked out my Devotions by Kids for Kids page. I can't imagine why, but it did. And then I thought, well, that's okay, because maybe that would have been too you know, intimidating, like, oh, too hard to make something like that. It really isn't, but I kept trying to enforce the idea that, you know, just do an audio file. A basic podcast is just an audio file,
mm-hmm. you know? Start somewhere, and then I think ideas or, you know, other concepts will come to you as far as you think more about this as it soaks in, as you talk to other people. It's a process. It's not a... You know, I'm going to hit the ground running kind of a thing. It's a process that you kind of have to think through and wait for it to settle in. And, you know, sometimes that's over the course of a school year or two even, you know, totally figure out that, boy, this was useful or, boy, that was a bomb. But, you know, we could try it to do it a little bit different way. So
I spent pretty much...
I'm sorry, Gail. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I spent most of last school year working on Web 2.0 tools like podcasting. I worked a lot with that and a lot of the applications. I just really, the wikis, I spent a whole year just fooling around with myself and building little things I could use here and there. And now this year is really when I'm first implementing a lot of these things in the classroom. So, you know, I'm not an expert at this either. I'm just excited about it because I see what it does.
Yeah.
Right. And I was just going to say, if anybody wants a proof of that concept, they could go back and listen to some of our early Wells Tech podcast and see how things have changed over time improved. And we're always learning and always willing to listen for new ideas as well. So that's just part of the process. And at least, you know, you got to get out there and give it the old college try. Give it a try.
And I think with new technologies, your audience or your listeners are a little more forgiving. You know, even with, I'm sure, the audio that's going to come out of this podcast, we had a lot of fluctuations and ups and, you know, downs in the audio quality. And I'm no audio engineer or sound engineer. So we still have listeners as far as I can tell. So they put up with us. And I think the fact that, you know, hopefully we're doing something relevant and trying and, you know, trying new things, and I think in general people are forgiving of that. So, all right. Well, Thank you, Gail, for that great recap. We were hoping to get some good stuff, and I think we got some great ideas and just a general encouragement to give it a shot. If you want to, if you want some assistance, you want some other ideas, or just to chat with us about, you know, podcasting in general, let us know. We would love to talk with you either on the show or via the Wells Tech listserv. All of those are available at wellstech.wells.net. So go to the website and communicate with us. We'd love to talk with you. Well, let's advance to the next segment of the show, which is the ever popular Tips of the Week. Sally, you want to start?
You bet, Martin. Today I have a hardware tip for you, and actually it's a follow-up on one that, Martin, you did a while back, and it's a different Skype phone. I know a while back, Martin, you had reviewed the Belkin Wi-Fi phone.
Yep.
And you were using it in your home, and now I've made the leap and bought a Skype phone, a different one, and put it to use in my home. I am tired of paying for long distance when I can get it for free over Skype or almost free with a Skype Out account, just like $2.95 a month or something like that for Skype Out. Mm-hmm. So I purchased a Philips VOIP 841 model. And what's unique about this Skype phone is that it doesn't connect to your computer. It actually has a base unit that connects directly to your network, so your computer doesn't even have to be on. You log into your Skype account on the phone. You can access your contacts and all of that on the telephone. It has a really nice color display screen on the telephone, very easy to use. And it also doubles as a regular phone. So your landline phone, if you have one of those still, will ring through on this new Skype phone as well. And you can answer either type of call on the Skype phone. I've been really pleased with the quality. It has something called DECT. DECT, which is new wireless technology to make it really clear and everything. And I just can't say enough good things about the Philips VOIP 841. Great. I'll have a link in the show notes.
Cost is?
I think it was around $200.
Yeah, I just went to their site. I think what I'm seeing here too. Now, can you get extensions to this, or you're just kind of with the one phone?
No, I believe that you can have multiple handsets. We didn't look into that at all because we actually kept our landline as well. We really are just looking to use Skype Out to make the long distance calls. So we'll just do it on the one phone. It has a speakerphone capability and everything. But my understanding is you can add handsets. There's a base unit, and then the handsets just are rechargeable. Yeah. They have a little, you know, power base unit to them just to recharge them, and they're wireless throughout the, you know, local area there.
Okay. I'm going to have to look into that because I've got to retract my Belkin pick of a few months ago. My VoIP phone. So it just stopped working, just totally dead in the water. The battery would not recharge. I pulled it out, plugged it back in again. It will do nothing for me. It's a paperweight at this point.
Oh, wait. Okay.
But the call quality was good, but obviously if it won't take a charge, not worth a whole lot. So this looks actually really cool, especially with the ability to integrate with your landline so that you really don't have to deal with multiple phones. And especially if you want to use this as your main phone, you could do it a lot more easily than with just a solo Skype phone. So
exactly.
Great pick.
Turn your computer off.
You should tell us about how you feel about it in 6 months.
Yeah, that's true too.
We'll have follow up.
Okay.
All of our picks kind of work like that. They have a 6 month limited warranty. Actually, most of our picks we've been using for a long time, but some of them are obviously new like this, so that we're excited about. So, Gail, you have a pick today?
I do. I'm going to share a website today. And the name of the website is PageFlakes. It's just www.pageflakes.com. And what I use PageFlakes as my homepage on my computer. And what it is a place where you can gather all your information that you would, you know, that you places you go to often. You can collect your RSS feed information there, your favorite websites. It's got a very nice little to-do list, which I pretty much live and die by. And let's see, what else? It's just growing by leaps and bounds. It's a community-based tool like almost everything is now. So you can connect with everybody who uses that. I don't do that. I do connect with one friend who does use it, and we share pages. He's got a page that he makes for teacher in-service in his school. So I link directly to that page. On the top of my page, there's a special link you can do, so I can just, you know, it's almost like tabbed browsing. Mm-hmm. I can click to that very quickly and look, check out some things as he adds them there. So let's see what else there is. Anything that you would want to add. This is all, you can arrange the page anyway. The concept is that all of these little boxes are called flakes. So they have flakes that do a lot of different things. The Wells Tech podcast flake that I have has shows about the last, you know, the top five, the last five of them show up for me. And the current one, always, that's the first place I always see the current one when it comes up on Wednesday. Mm. There's just any of the news services have a flake. Tons of sports things. I have the sports things, so I always could look during the World Series. I could always see the scores as they were going on during the day, and a lot of different sports-related things. The one thing I'll have to say that I you can link to the Google Calendar, which I like the Google Calendar, but it doesn't show up nicely on the page flake. That's the one thing I don't like about it. But it does collect a lot of things, much, you know, blogs, everything that you look at on a regular basis, you can put into a page flake and arrange it however you want to on this page. And, like I say, use it as your homepage to go out from. So it's not perfect, but it's the best I've found. I've tried blog lines and a few other things, and I can't get everything I want in one place. This is the one that does that the best for me. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend trying it, taking a look at it. They even have one that's make your own flake. You can make anything. You can make the flake be anything you want. I mean, it's a lot of real creative stuff there. The more you know about HTML and some other types of creation, you're really allowed to do some things that will make your page a little bit different mm-hmm. than anybody else, just real particular to your own needs.
Sounds great.
Sounds like fun. I'm happy to know that I'm a flake.
Yeah, right.
Wells Tech right. is a flake.
Right.
I always thought I was a little flaky. So.
You are a flake, Dally. Yep.
All right.
All right. My pick of the week is a service for your phone, or more specifically for your voicemail, called PhoneTag. Just like it sounds, .com, phonetag.com. Some of you may be familiar with this from a previous rendition of it called SimulScribe. They changed the name and they've re-engineered basically the product, and they've done a wonderful job. Essentially what PhoneTag is, it automatically converts your voicemail into text. So it transcribes any voicemail you receive, especially to, let's say, your mobile phone, and then delivers it to whatever device or system you'd like it to. So if you want to deliver that transcribed message to your phone as a text message, you could do that. Or what I do is I send it to my main email account. So what I get in my inbox is a copy of a WAV file, or I think you can select what kind of file you want, whether it's a Windows Media File, WAV, or MP3, as an attachment, and then the transcribed message. Now, I think it's all machine transcribed, so it's not perfect, although I've found it to be good enough for me to totally get the message of the voicemail. So obviously, this is a big win for me. I'm in meetings a lot all day, and I probably don't get a chance to check my voicemail, but maybe once a day at the very end. So if anything's obviously real urgent or something, I don't pick it up, at least in the past. Now what I can do is have that sent to me via email, which I usually will have my computer in front of me, and I can check in the, you know, in the course of a meeting or another, you know, workshop or whatever it is, and I know exactly what that voicemail is. Plus, you can archive these, of course. So you can search on your voicemail now. You can catalog or categorize them. You can You can save them in different formats. This is a great product. It does come with a cost. It's $9.95 per month for 40 messages. There's an unlimited plan for I think $30 a month. But typically I don't get more than, you know, 40 voicemails per month. I just do it for my cell phone at this point, because we do have a, not the exact same system, but a similar system within the Synod office. But this is a wonderful approach, and I'm thinking that all cellular providers are eventually going to adopt something like this. It just makes sense. Voicemail is so hard to manage because it's not like anything else. It sits all by itself. You have to dial in to retrieve it, to listen to it. You can't really do much with it once you have it. So I think this is a tremendous product and pretty well done. PhoneTag.com.
So, Martin, I guess that there are certainly privacy disclosures around that. There's people listening to your messages to do the transcription, or?
No, I believe it's machine transcribed, at least from what I can tell.
Okay.
I'm going to have to look. Actually, there is a privacy link. And I don't think a human is involved in here, because they would get some of the things that they get wrong right. And there's a little system that they use with a question mark or a couple question marks of things that, you know, they're it's unclear what was said. So
okay, so you do have some mistakes occasionally in what gets transcribed.
But I think by and large, you know, 90% of it is exactly right on. You can try it free for a week to see how it works. And if anybody's interested, I'd suggest you give that a shot. It works with almost all the cellular providers. You have to tell them which cellular provider you have and what your phone number is. And it basically intercepts the message. So if you don't pick up and it goes to voicemail, your cellular provider doesn't provide the voicemail any longer. PhoneTag intercepts that and then processes that. And then you can go out. You can actually go online. There's a web interface for all of the voicemail messages online that you can check online, both the audio and the transcribed message.
Very cool. I'm just willing to bet that it doesn't work with cellular providers in Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. But hey, you never know.
who's your provider?
Sleepy Eye is just special. We have Altel.
Let's see. Let's do it. Let's do a quick check. let's see. Carriers.
I should have money on this.
Yeah, no kidding. Hang on. I got to find where that is.
Good luck.
It works with Skype, AT&T, Verizon, Singular, T-Mobile, M5, Altel.
Oh, it's amazing.
Cincinnati, Bell, Skype, and Sprint. So those are the carriers.
All right.
So, give it a shot. It doesn't cost anything to try it for a week, and if you're like me, this is really something that's real helpful to me to get that get those voicemails transcribed. All right, up next, our Wells.net feature of the week.
That's right. I just wanted to give a quick plug to the Wells Benefit Plans Office website. You can get to that at www.wellsbpo.net. And there you can check out your 2009 insurance rates, and you can also get details on the current open enrollment period for your insurance coverage. So they typically have these open enrollment periods once each year, where if you aren't currently taking the coverage, you can choose to sign up for it. But actually this year they're having it, and they're not going to have another one for 2 years now. So if you want to get in on the Wells VBA insurance program, now's the time to sign up, and all those details are online at wellsbpo.net.
Thank you, Sally. Let's go on to community feedback. Who is talking to us this past week?
Well, Martin, I was really excited. I think I sent you an email and said, wow, people really do listen to our show right away, because we got some feedback right away last Wednesday after the show was released. First, we heard from Jennifer, who works with ProCare Software. We actually talked about ProCare Software in our last show. We had a comment from Kevin Smith at Christ in Zumbrota, Minnesota, where they use the ProCare Software program for their daycare program, their preschool daycare program. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer heard our podcast, must have come up in some of her searching on the web or whatever, and offered to talk with us further about the software. So maybe we'll be able to interview her in a future show and look more closely at what the software offers. I know Kevin at Christ in Zumbrota was really excited about it. So that was neat to hear from Jennifer.
Cool.
And then next, again, right away Wednesday morning, we heard from Perry Lund, who is an elder and a Sunday school teacher at Grace in Oskaloosa, Iowa. I was excited about that name because that's a pretty cool place to be from, I think.
Oskaloosa.
Yeah.
It's like something Arnold Schwarzenegger would say.
There you go. Exactly what I was thinking. Arnold Schwarzenegger. No.
Oskaloosa, baby.
Yeah. All right. So Perry is also an IT professional. He and his wife both actually have a lot of IT experience and use different technology day to day in their professional lives, but then are also active in the congregation there in Oskaloosa. And Perry and his wife both have iPhones. So he was really interested in our last podcast where we talked to specifically about the iPhone and ministry with Pastor Cowley. And he told us that he uses it for teaching Sunday school. He uses it to look things up on the web, you know, different Bible references and things like that. And lots of other uses for the iPhone in ministry, and he's looking for more and more things to be developed there as well. So it was neat to hear from Perry and get that feedback on our show.
Right. Thank you, Perry. And Jennifer, we appreciate the feedback. We've got a couple listserv threads going on, correct?
That's right. A couple of things around accelerated reading program quizzes, and also mapping out your congregation and location with Google Earth. And I think both of those are real interesting threads, and if you're looking for more information on that, we'll have links in the show note to those threads from the Wells Tech listserv.
Great. Keep the feedback coming, wellstech.wells.net or wellstech@wells.net if you'd like to send us an email. Coming up next week on the show is I should have let you do this, Sally, because it's your deal. National Distance Learning Week. That's across the country, but Wells is observing that as well. We've got a number of resources out there. So we're going to be talking about all the things that are available in the area of distance learning. We'll be playing an interview with John Simonson, who's a Wells member and owner of a web consulting company called WebStream Dynamics. He's going to talk a little bit about web marketing, how to get your website a little bit easier to find. So we'll talk about search engine optimization and some cool things around that based on his experience. I just wanted to give everybody a heads up on a discussion topic that Sally and I will be going through in December. Both of us have read a book called Here Comes Everybody by Clay Shirky. Clay is an incredible mind and has a great mind for statistics and storytelling as well. And you may want to read this book in advance of our discussion, and we'd love to hear your feedback on it as well. Essentially, it is a book about the advances of technology and how communication or organization simply now can just happen almost instantaneously with tools like Twitter and Facebook and text messaging and the mobile communications that we've been talking about over the course of the last couple shows. Here Comes Everybody by Clay Shirky is a book, and we're going to deal with a number of chapters at a time and talk about some of the concepts in there as they relate to ministry, because I think a number of them do. So make sure you tune in December for those conversations. Well, that should about
Very
do
good.
It for the show. Sally, anything else? Gail, anything else?
No.
I think we're all set. My doggy's scratching on the door. He wants to be part of the podcast as well.
Okay.
Time is up.
Time is up. And the show is done. We're going to close with the beautiful music and voice of Kevin Larish as he sings Abide With Me from his album by the same name. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next week.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.